This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The man they call Barbershop played 10 years in the NFL, including three with the Chiefs.
I think that our defense is doing that at a higher level than any other team.
And even though they disagree on just about everything,
all of those things kind of got to be rewritten and thrown out the window. The trajectory for this team is not on the normal scale.
Sean Barber joins CDOT in studio right now on The Drive, brought to you by Own KC.
Rob, I'm sitting here laughing because I think that's the first time Barber heard his open, and he's like, "Who disagrees all the time?" And I'm like, "Us." He's like, "Oh, yeah, us."
I didn't know. I thought we both just stated our opinions, and somehow, sometimes they just didn't end up, you know, coinciding with one another.
Very rarely do they end up coinciding with one another.
Hey, I'm very like
this week. You know what though? This week, I am actually on the side of I'm open. I'll play a couple of cuts for you. And right now we're talking to Sean Barber joining us in studio. And I think the Chiefs have set a clear message this week.
Okay.
The first half of the game was not good. We didn't come out with that energy and attitude that you was preaching to us about last week.
Yeah.
We went back in the locker room. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed, but they found it. I'll play for you what Andy Reid had to say himself.
I just think the guys put their mind to it and bared down and, you know, kind of enough's enough. And, you know, there's a point where you have to do that. And I thought they did a nice job.
So he said they put their mind to it. Enough was enough. They went out there, and I think that was the best 30 minutes of football we've seen this season from the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought they looked great in the second half.
I tend to agree with you. I also thought that they looked great in that third quarter of that Buffalo game. But, I mean, again, effort and attitude are the things, and I know you say energy and attitude. I didn't know, so don't misquote me.
Okay,
no more.
My bad. Effort and attitude.
Effort
I apologize.
And attitude. Energy would come along. I mean, you got energy, so you ain't got to talk about it, but it's the effort through the whistle, finishing the plays, getting the line, getting the sign, get ready to play, get ready to come off the ball and punch somebody in the mouth. That kind of attitude. And like Coach Reed says, he said, enough is enough. Eventually, in every game, in every career, in every season, it gets to a point where enough is enough. It's enough getting misaligned. It's enough blowing cover. It's enough not knowing the adjustments. It's enough lining up offsides. Enough is enough. And when you get to that point, you get fed up. Every man looks at themselves. And the important thing is that you don't look around. You don't need to look around at who's doing what. All 11 guys on the field look at it in the mirror. That's all you got to look at. It goes no further than that. You don't have to look around and see who's messing up. All you got to do is do a quick self-check. Am I checking in and doing my best job? Am I doing what I need to do for us to win? 11 out of 11. 11 out of 11. You do that consistently. And that's what it takes, that consistency of checking in with yourself, making sure you're doing what you've been paid to do, your job, and just doing, you know, coming to work ready to, and prepared to play on game day. And that's what I think that the defense – got to a point where what Andy Reid says is 100% correct. Enough was enough. You saw the effort, the attitude. You saw those things take control of the game in that second half. I think they kept them off the scoreboard, right?
This might be the one negative thing I'll say. It's one thing to do those things against Washington, who is probably one of the three worst teams on their schedule this year. Washington is not a good football team. They're not going to win more than seven games this year, but they've got some decent offensive pieces. You're going up against a playoff team on Sunday in the Tennessee Titans, a team that's capable of beating any team in the league. A team with the Hall of Fame running back, a team with the quarterback who's very dangerous on the play action, a team with a couple of good weapons on the outside. We'll see if Julio Jones is going to be healthy and available on Sunday. Do you think that they can carry over what they did against Washington and that can sort of be a catalyst the way that it was back in 2019? Well, remember, they played really well against the Chargers and that ended up being a real building block for them for the rest of the season. Do you think that the second half against the football team can carry this defense to where they want to go?
I mean, it's a starting point. I think the whole thing you do during the season is you hear Coach Spagnuolo talk about it. Coach Spags talk about it. It's about stacking good plays. You want to stack good plays because then you can stack good possessions, good series. You can start stacking good quarters. And it comes that's how you build that momentum. That's how you build that attitude. That's how you build that trust and confidence. Every time you get on that field, it's going to be a stop because that's just what we do. And when those things come back in the return on your investment, right? The return on your investment is a sacrifice. You sacrifice time away from family, you sacrifice your health, your body out on that field. When the return on that sacrifice is positive plays, effective defense, stopping people, it becomes contagious. The momentum starts to carry. And then you start making more and more big plays. And now everybody is on board. And that's where you want to get to. But you don't want to peak too soon. Everything is a building block to the end of that season, right? You want to be building, and then ready to explode at the end of the season.
Right now we're talking to former NFL linebacker Sean Barber on the show. Let's talk about some of the individual changes. I like Daniel Sorensen and the role that they used him in on Sunday. I think at this point he's more of a hybrid linebacker, play better to the line of scrimmage. I think what they were asking him to do was just above where he is as a player. It's like trying to eat cereal with a fork. A fork has a clear purpose. It's just not to eat cereal with. Having him be the single high safety to play deep, that just wasn't a place for him to win. You put Thornhill in that situation. You play Daniel Sorensen close to the line of scrimmage to help more in run protection. I actually think that's the right way to use him. They should have been doing that from the very beginning of the season, in my opinion, but no time like the present. What did you see from Thornhill on Sunday? What did you see from Sorensen on Sunday?
You know, the amazing thing is that we'll never know what is the natural progression of how this defense is being put in. It might have been just come week seven, it's time for there to be a three safety package put on the field a little bit more. That was a natural progression of where they're building their blitz scheme and their zone schemes. This is just the next page of the evolution of the defense. The problem with most fans, not problems, but the issue most fans have is they want it now. They want it week one. They want you to they want to see all the fireworks week one. They don't want to keep any, don't hold any of your cards back. They want to hold the whole poker hand. They want to see that royal flush from week one, and they want you to play all your best defenses each and every week so you can try to go undefeated. To win championships in the NFL, to win ball games is very hard week in and week out. There are some really good, and you said that the Washington football team is not a good team because of, you know, who they played and what their record might be and all that. There's some, again, Scary Terry, the wide receivers.
They got a couple of weapons.
Gibson, McKissick. They got some, they do. They do have some good players.
They got a couple of weapons with the backup quarterback.
They got some good weapons, and they get paid to play too. And their defense is full of some studs and stuff like that. But I think all together, we took care of business. We did what we needed to do to come out there with a win, come out healthy. You want to come out the games healthy because what we've seen through, you know, year and year of football, usually the thing that you want to do at the end of the season is if you can be playing very good, moving the ball up and down the field, getting first downs on offense, protecting the ball, creating turnovers on defense, finding ways to get off the field on third downs. If you can make those things happen and your roster is healthy, that was one of the important pieces that we were missing last year. We just were not healthy as far as the offensive line. You got to be healthy. And so whatever we have to do with our roster and alignment to make sure that we address that and make sure at the end of the season, when we get into those final three or four weeks of the season, I want to see this roster healthy. I want to see the defense, the starting defense, healthy on the field together, playing together so they can trust one another before we get to the playoffs. That is one of my only priorities going into the season.
This is where I'll disagree with you a little bit, because I do think Kansas City showed a sense of urgency, at least with some of the personnel moves. Like, you know, Andy, pretty tried and true. They don't really react to a lot of things. It's not really that much of a coincidence to me that after the loss to the Buffalo Bills, in which they got beat pretty handedly, they started announcing some widespread changes. They then changed the safety finally, and they moved Thornhill back to that spot, and they changed the role for Daniel Sorensen. They had made a change with Ben Neiman for the most part, but then the Hitchens injury kind of changed it, so it went back to some of the things they used to do. They also made a change at right tackle, and they removed Lucas Niang, and they put Mike Remmers in there. They were reactionary to the game against the Buffalo Bills, which then I guess I kind of look at it. We've seen there sort of be those lines in the sand with Andy since he's been here. Remember a couple of years ago when they lost to the Chargers at the end of the year where Mike Williams was wide open in the back of the end zone? They basically told Orlando Scandrick, we're done after this. Like, we're not doing this anymore. We tried it. It's time for you to move to Charcandrick West or Charvarius Ward. Excuse me. Like, they've sort of had those thing happens. They get time to really evaluate it. They're pretty decisive what their next move is going to be. I do look at the Buffalo move as being a little bit of a wake-up call. It has to be. You lost to three straight playoff teams and teams you know you're going to see again, and you got to do some self-evaluation. Is what we're doing enough? And then after that game, they make three pretty widespread changes, and at least right now, the internet rumor is that they're about to move Chris Jones back to the inside, and they've been rumored to go pick up a guy like Whitney Merciless. They've been rumored on other things. I do think they are making changes to this defense to try to get themselves ready for the second half of the season.
Again, I just don't react to rumors and hearsay and, you know, what the word on the street is. At the end of the day, there's got to be some philosophical, there's got to be a process. There's got to be a method to the madness. And so when it comes to evaluating players on the field, there's a certain level of play you expect guys that are veteran players to play up to. And when those guys are not performing, then it's man-to-man conversations to have on your expectation is to fill this gap. Your expectation is to cover this deep half. Your expectation on this call is to be able to cover a flat and make a tackle on the open field. If those things don't get done at a high level, there's always young guys who, yes, they're not veterans, so you don't know what they can do, but you get to a point where you'd rather fail with the unknown than giving a guy who you think you know about numerous chances to do something that you know has to be done to play that position. And so across the board on defense, you got to be a team that tackles well. You got to understand the defense. You got to know where you belong. You got to know adjustments, alignment, assignments. Those are things that are expected from every person on the field. And because you're a rookie or because you don't really get a exception. You don't get a free pass because you're a young player. That's not really how football is done at this level. That's how college football is done, but at the pro level. But when you touch the field, you're a pro player. Accept your job, learn your responsibility, and then go out there and perform. If you're not ready for that, then you won't be on the field long. That's the practice squad. That's why they have a practice squad for guys to develop. But when it's time to go play games on Sunday, it's the best of the best. You don't have too much room or time for that learning curve that you see at some of the teams in the NFL that are not as well skilled as the Kansas City Chiefs.
I want to play this audio cut for you. This is Tyrann Mathieu. Listen to who he says is starting to hit his stride a little bit.
Yeah, he's heating up, man. You know, Frank has dealt with a lot, you know, a lot of different emotions, and, you know, to see him still into it, to see him still buying in, you know, to the coaching and everything that's going on, you could tell that he's, you know, he's more focused than ever. And I think, you know, he's somebody that we're going to need, you know, going forward. So, you know, I thought he played well today, probably not as well as he wanted to. But if he could keep stacking them, you know, obviously stay healthy, you know, he's going to be a big reason why we can get back to, you know, the kind of defense, you know, I think we could be.
Before you ask that question, what are the key words we heard? Stacking them, stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like something you just heard over the last few minutes, right?
Yeah, that's what you've been saying.
Rafiki.
That's what you've been saying.
Do I got to Rafiki you again? Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's the key, like the same key words coming out of the same people's mouths over and over.
Yeah, because you guys are well-trained with the media to say football things. We got to keep stacking them, take them one game at a time. We know all the football stuff. I want to know from you, is that what you're seeing from Frank Clark? And as much as I am hard on Frank Clark, which I should be, because he's the highest paid player on the team and the seventh highest paid defensive player in the NFL, they can't get to where they want to go without him. The reason they played so well defensively on Sunday was because they finally got push up front. They finally were able to use that pressure to create turnovers. You play defense in the NFL. If you don't get pressure and you don't create turnovers, you just don't have a chance of stopping the modern offenses of today. It's just too many playmakers. Quarterback is too good. The rules are just put in a way that's going to allow offenses a chance to have success. They can't get to where they want to go without Frank Clark. They can't get to where they want to go without Jaren Reed. So that's what I want to hear from the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, he's getting healthy. He's buying into the culture. We just got to keep stacking those good performances. We heard for the longest time how Frank Clark can set the edge. I sure hope so, because on Sunday, you're going up against the edge buster. I don't care how well you set the edge. Derrick Henry runs through the edge. He's faster than the edge. I want to see that same energy and intensity from Frank Clark on Sunday that we saw back in 2019 in the AFC Championship game.
So I'm going to call a spade a spade.
And okay, I'm gonna say, I like hearing that.
Again, when Frank Clark was probably the only person in Kansas City when King Henry was about to come in for the playoffs, and he told y'all exactly what this defense was going to do against that run game, no one believed him. You can't say, don't tell me you was over here believing.
I never believed him.
You questioned him. You questioned him, just like you questioned me about the Chargers run game coming in, and they ended up going with 3.5 yards a carry, and you swear it's going to be over 5 yards a carry.
I don't have any confidence in him on Sunday. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't see a path in which they keep Derrick Henry under 115 yards. I just don't see it.
And you didn't see a path last time we kept him.
I didn't. You're right.
All right. So history says you don't see it. That's one thing. Though in Survivor, you're pretty good at predicting the overtime wins.
I'm good at it.
The 5 minute remaining comebacks by 16. You're really good at that, right? The figuring out who gonna win, the final score. Somehow, some way, your chicken bones, you're doing your hoodoo, your voodoo, and coming up
okay,
with these
picks.
Okay,
so then, hold on. Since you have this ability for see the future, you tell me how many yards you think Derrick Henry's going to run for on Sunday. Because I guarantee you I'm taking the over. Because I know you, Mr. Chief. You're going to have like 85 yards
no,
or something.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm very rational. I'm very...
Okay, that's not the word I would use to that's not the word I would use to describe your Chiefs analysis. That's the word I would use to describe your NFL analysis. And that's not how I would describe your Chiefs analysis. You tell me how many yards you think Derrick Henry's running for on Sunday.
I think that the Chiefs will keep Derrick Henry to under 165 yards.
Under 165?
Yeah.
If that happens, well, it's like let's say he
again,
runs.
Again, we keep the definition of me on a successful defensive stance has nothing to do with total yards. It has to do with yards per carry, and we keep talking about that. I keep discussing that with you, and I got to Rafiki you again. I got to hit you upside the head and
I don't
make
want
you realize
that. That hurts.
I know, but you still don't realize it. You keep coming up with these stats off the computer telling me what we gave up, what they...
If he runs for 140 yards, they lose.
Say again?
If Derrick Henry runs for 140 yards and you're under 165, the Chiefs are losing that game.
All right, so I'll take another $10 gift card to Chick-fil-A. You got the 140 equals the win. I'm going to say that does not equal a win. I'm going to say
I think they lose if he does that.
Okay, so we on different sides of that. Perfect.
I mean, I don't think he's going to run for 140, but I think if he has that kind of day, I just think it opens up everything they want to do offensively. Then I think Kansas City's biting on every single play action. I think if he runs for 140, that's two long runs that put them in scoring place. Like, it puts them in that scenario. I think the game's high scoring, but if we look at it, and I have the numbers, but I'm saving those numbers till tomorrow. When Derrick Henry has that kind of day, you just don't beat him. They win that game like 90% of the time.
You know, I only need 10%, really. Like, a win is a win. I'm just saying this. I think the Chiefs going down there with a mission to come back with a win. I think they're going to Nashville, and actually not just the Chiefs. I mean, the way I hear about it, a lot of KC is heading to Nashville.
I think it's going to be a lot of Chiefs
fans. Naughtyville is going to be naughty on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully Nashville is going to batten down the hatches and they bring in some extra Applebee's for the Applebee's song. I heard that's going to be playing early and often.
It's a great song. With the Oreo shake.
Oreo
they
shake, that bourbon. That Bourbon Street steak.
The Oreo shake sound like what Derrick Henry about to do to Ben Neiman and Daniel Sorensen. It's like about to have his own Oreo shake
straws,
out there.
Two straws of that Oreo shake. So
But you said under 165. Like, if they held him to 151, they did well defensively.
Well, I'm just saying, if he carries the ball 35 times, I mean, that's like 3-4 yards a carry. I mean, again, that's why I don't get – I keep trying to tell you, I don't get bogged down by the totals. I like when we get – I think we're going to create two turnovers. I think we'll force him to punt 3 or 4 times. Those are the things on I would love to get three and outs. Those are the things that speak defensive success. I see movement going in that direction. I love what I saw in the third quarter against the Bills. Those three and outs, those making the punt, getting that turnover. Referee throws a flag. I'm oblivious to those flags that don't really. It took away a turnover. It took away something, and that referee should be ashamed of himself for taking away that from that. He worked hard for that turnover.
I said earlier that Kansas City should get 2 points every time Frank Clark makes contact with the quarterback. They should just get 2 points. Like, that should be an automatic safety every time that happens.
Right. Again, in CDOT's world, this world that you fabricated up, according to your rules, that might happen. Unfortunately, in the NFL, that does not happen. So, on Sunday, I don't think we're going to need that adjusted point calculated that you're using in order to.
Isn't that why they have the competition committee? Like, Kansas City are the ones that said, hey, let's change the jersey so you can wear whatever number you want to wear. You don't think if they ask the competition committee, hey, we'll get 2 points every time Frank Clark gets to the quarterback, you don't think other teams would go for it? I mean, it wouldn't be that much of an advantage for Kansas City. They might get like 6 points extra over the course of the season.
Hey, you can see me. I walk around a lot with this own KC shirt that says Kansas City versus the world. And that's kind of what it's like on the football field. Like, some of the times the refs just seem like they're not really, you know, it's supposed to be three different teams out there. I don't know if you realize that. On every football field, every game on Sunday, it's actually three teams. It's not two. Most people think it's two, home and away.
The refs are a team.
The refs, they're supposed to be a team of impartial, right, based off of a set of rules that are agreed upon by both sides to be fair.
You're hitting everything on Chiefs Bingo today. Refs is cheating you today.
No, I didn't say they're cheating. I just said sometimes they don't seem to be as unbiased as they – you know, is they supposed to be? They're just supposed to be very, hey, I see it the same way. Holding is holding, no matter who's holding who.
No, that's fair.
Illegal contact is illegal contact, no matter who's.
Except when Brady is playing, because then they don't ever call those things when Brady is on the field. I don't know why the rules don't apply to Brady the way they apply to everybody else. I don't get it.
See, you see it too.
It's so confusing to me.
So you see it too. Sometimes that third team does seem a little bit.
Yeah, no, it does seem so
slightly off.
Really quick before we have to take this break, I forgot to tell you this story and it just popped in my head. So we was talking to Speck earlier and he's like, let's get stories from Barber, like what it's like to tackle a big physical back like Derrick Henry. He was like, I know he went up against Ron Dayne. I just like dying laughing. Like that was the example you have of like a big physical back was Ron Dayne.
Oh man, who was the guy that the Tampa Bay Bucks had with the big shoulder junks? Come on, Rob, who's the guy?
Cadillac Williams?
Mike Allstott?
Mike Allstott.
Cadillac Williams was your guess, really?
I mean, he was called Cadillac. He was called Escalade.
That's why your football knowledge right there.
I forgot you was old. So then I gave you like the 2011 guy.
I got
and
you.
And then he gave you the 2000 guy.
No,
Mike Allstott.
Yeah, you forgot I was old.
Yeah, I forgot you were old. My bad. Mike Allstott was a beast. Allstott came on the show last year.
Let me clear this up. It's called wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah, okay.
One is a vertical plane, one's a horizontal.
You normally get that by being old.
Knowledge is a horizontal plane. You search horizontally for knowledge. You talk to your friends and everything. Whenever you're ready to get some wisdom, you actually have to go vertical. You got to look up. You got to ask for wisdom to come from above.
Yeah, you look up on the age chart.
No, you look up from above. That's the problem with you. I'm going to Rafiki you again. When you're ready to be wise and speak with wisdom on this mic, look up and just ask the Lord to show you when you are right and when you are wrong. How are you leading Kansas City down the wrong path when it comes to how to properly support your staff?
That's all I do on this show is lead Kansas
defense.
City down the wrong path.
Yeah, you do. C negative.
That's what I get paid for, actually.
What'd you call C negative?
That's Buzz Killington.
Buzz
Killington is what they call
Man,
me.
Man, just negative Nelly, dog.
I'm super negative. That's
About
actually
what?
That's actually my appeal.
Why?
I think is me
Why?
Being negative.
Positive.
Coming up on the other side, you know what I think is going to happen? I'm going to be positive about the other teams in the AFC. You're going to be negative about the other teams
Ooh,
in the AFC.
I can't wait to talk about that.
So I think there's 5 contenders in the AFC. We're going to remove the Chiefs, and I want to hear what you think about those other teams. That's what I want to hear. Someone says that Carrington, it sounds like you're going to need an ice pack after the show. Absolutely. You've threatened to hit me in the head at least 8 times today. It's so much violence.
Everybody
here on the
Drive. Who knows about the Lion King movie knows what I'm talking about.
The Drive. Weekdays 2-6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome back to The Drive.
This man Sean Barber looked at me and said, who are the other contenders in the AFC? Because the only one is Kansas City. That's what you just looked at me and said.
You know that's not true.
So. That's what you looked at me and said.
If there's somebody that's going to hold you accountable to the truth, it's going to be me. So I don't know what goes on with the rest of The Drive. But from 5 to 6, you all can believe that I'm going to make this man understand what the truth is. And that was not the truth.
Okay, so this is what I would like to do. I would like to go through the other contenders in the AFC and get your thoughts.
I think
there's 5.
Okay.
I think it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Tennessee, Baltimore, Los Angeles, and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think those are the 5 contenders in the AFC. I think there's other good teams and possible playoff teams. Like, I think Vegas has a good chance of making the playoffs. I think Vegas can make the playoffs. I know you think Vegas has no chance of making the playoffs. Yes, they do. Cincinnati has a chance to make the playoffs.
I like Cincinnati. You know, I like you.
I told you
from the beginning, Cincy been all right.
I think that Cleveland, if they don't win today, I'm eliminating them officially from the playoffs.
Too many injuries, man.
Too banged up. This is the worst team they have left on their schedule. You got to find a way to grind and win and get Baker back healthy, get Odell Beckham healthy, and try to get things turned around. So we're going to go through the other teams in the AFC, and I just want Baker's thoughts. I want Barber's thoughts. Hit it, Rob. Let's start with Buffalo. I think Buffalo is the best team in the AFC. I know you're about to tell me some foolishness about how they're not the best team in the AFC.
I'm not going to tell you nothing because I've realized I can talk to a wall over and over and tell it all the make all the sense in the world, and I got to realize that wall ain't going to say nothing back to me.
They're the most complete team in the AFC. Offensively, defensively, special teams, coach, quarterback, roster. I don't really think there is a glaring deficiency for Buffalo. If I was them, I'd be interested in maybe acquiring a running back at the deadline if they're them, and I think too much of the running responsibility is on Josh Allen, but you're not going to have a perfect team. I think Buffalo is the most complete team in the AFC.
Okay, I like Buffalo. Obviously, you know I'm a fan of Sean McDermott and his coaching style. He definitely has those guys playing. We saw it when they came to Kansas City. They played with high effort, a true passion to get after the quarterback. They wanted to make sure Pat Mahomes felt that they were in and around him on every play. A little bit even after the whistle, so it was a little bit of a little bit of a dirtiness to their play, and I can appreciate that for a little bit. I think that at the end of the day, what's going to happen to the Buffalo Bills is I think that's going to be a team that kind of shoot their wad a little early. A team that's shown some of their best plays, their best defenses, their best coverages, the best pressure packages. So I think that's going to be one of those teams that peaks around week 10. And then the league is going to adjust to them at the end of the year. And then you're going to see them from who they really are. And they're going to get to the playoffs. And hopefully they win enough games on their behalf to get the first round bye. But they're going to still fall in the playoffs.
Did you like their decision to go for it on fourth down?
It didn't work. But I did. I would have went for it. I don't know if I would have called the quarterback sneak, but I would have went for it at that point.
I was actually thinking this where the only real complaint I would have is if you're going to go for it, go for the win and not just the first down. Like, call a play that you think you can score a touchdown. You know, like, call a touchdown scoring play there and not a 1 yard play. That'd be the only complaint I would have.
Again, I think there's more efficient ways to get 1 yard than a traditional quarterback sneak, especially with two noses in both A gaps. Maybe I should have checked out of that and went to off tackle or something like that. But
let's move on in this and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Baltimore Ravens, you were talking about me and Survivor, right? You were talking about me and Survivor.
Uh-huh.
And I have had some fortunate things happen, but that's also part of the NFL. That's life. Week one, got kind of fortunate. I picked New England to beat the Texans. Got kind of fortunate.
You got real fortunate.
That's not any different than the Ravens in real life. The Ravens needed a 66-yard field goal to beat the Detroit Lions. They were a Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble from losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. They were down 14 in the game against the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football. So if you're going to be critical of me and Survivor, I better hear that same criticism toward the Baltimore Ravens.
I think the Ravens is a solid roster. I think they play very sound defense. I love the way my man Martin Wink. I like Wink, Winky Dink. I like the way he plays that aggressive style of defense. Unfortunately, what's going to come down to the Ravens is this is a game of attrition sometimes, and they're just not going to be healthy enough to sustain the way they play football. They play downhill, powerhouse, smashing the mouth, and you just can't play that style of football in the NFL with your quarterback and think that the league isn't going to adjust and going to take some shots on that young man that he's not going to get up from sometimes. So the loss of Ronnie Stanley is going to be something that's going to be very hard for them to get over the next 4 or 5 weeks until they can find another tackle that can play that position. So I see them, if you talk about this week, they got one of the teams that I think is going to be up and coming is those Cincinnati Bengals. They're facing those guys this week. I think that's going to be a tough matchup. I think Cincinnati will probably win that ball game, and then you're going to have to start eating your words about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati should have beat Green Bay a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Cincinnati is the truth.
Their kicker was interested in making kicks.
They come ready to play every game. It's Joe Burrow has got those guys going at a high level. They can run the ball with Mixon. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They got T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. They got
Chase.
A bunch. Chase.
Yeah, Jamar Chase has been shown fantastic.
He's shown that that preseason, it was just a preseason.
He's actually Rookie of the Year. I would vote for Jamar Chase to win Rookie of the Year right now if I had to vote.
I might go for Diggs, DB in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, he is a rookie.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He is a rookie. No, you're right. I have over him to win Defensive Player of the Year, not just Rookie of the Year. I forgot. I just thought it was his second year. Moving on in your AFC breakdown, mm-hmm. The Los Angeles Chargers. You want to tell me you told me about Cincinnati. I have been steadfast on the Chargers since March. I've been telling you about the Chargers. The Chargers have proven to be one of the better teams in the AFC. I am a little bit worried about the defense and would like to see them make a trade to get that run defense. You can't win being dead last in run defense. And I thought Baltimore was a bad matchup for them, and I was right. I mean, if you were a good running back in 2009, you could have ran for 100 yards against the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. They got to get that fixed to really take them seriously to win a championship.
By the way, real quick, Diggs is not a rookie. He's a second-year player. The Chiefs could draft him. They wasted a pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Just a reminder.
I knew I was right about it. Let me pat myself on the back again. I knew Diggs was in his second year.
All right.
All right, Jamar Chase, I'm giving you the Rookie of the Year again, and he tried to take away. You tried to take it away from him.
I'm going to tell you, see, this is how men do it. I was wrong. See how simple that is?
I've never said that phrase before. Don't hate me, world.
Hey, I was wrong. He's a second-year guy. Hey, still balling out, doing his thing. I appreciate what that Joker doing on the field. So where are we at? We at the Chargers
about
now?
About the Chargers, yeah. About the Los Angeles Chargers. Hey, Carrington, Rob, you were right about the Chargers.
Rob, don't mess up my flow like that no anymore. Like, next time you come in with breaking news, it better be breaking. You could have saved that for the next segment. The Chargers is a team, obviously we said, the deficiency to be able to stop the run. You crowned them before they even came to Kansas City. I told you what was going to happen with that ball game as far as us stopping the run.
Yeah, they beat them when they came to Kansas City.
Unfortunately, with the turnovers, you can't count on 4 turnovers in every game. What I believe with the Chargers is going to happen is at the end of the day, this bravado of being able to just go for it on every fourth down, arrogance to the wind. We're not kicking field goals. We're just going to continue to go for it. eventually the numbers going to catch up with them. You got to play a smarter style. You got to take the points where they're given to you. And come the playoffs, unfortunately, that's going to be a team where you're going to add up their possessions. They're going to have a bunch of yardage. But when you look up on the scoreboard, they're going to be not enough, and another team's going to have a couple more points in them, and they're going to send them home packing early.
You sound actually more down on the Chargers than the other three teams.
Yeah,
the teams we've gone through so far.
Yeah, I don't think that you can just go for it on fourth down no matter where you are on the field. And I don't think that Herbert, yes, he makes some great throws, but he throws it up for grabs to Williams. And Williams is a great 50-50 ball carrier. I mean, ball catcher. Eckler is a great running back.
I like Eckler a lot. I'm a big Eckler guy.
Again, banged up a little bit early in the season.
He's always
you got to stay healthy, man. You got to stay healthy. So
Austin Eckler always hurt.
And defensively, like you said, like sometimes we don't stop the run, but I know that we have the ability to. I don't know what they do on defense to tell you they have the ability to stop the run. I don't think they even try to stop the run.
Which doesn't make any sense because they have the former Rams defensive coordinator and they just are clueless when it comes to stopping the run. Do you see Tennessee as a real contender? I do.
I think Tennessee, because they emulate the head coach, they play a tough, smart brand of football. They smash mouth. They want to make it a physical contest. They make it a game that's won and lost in the trenches. Unfortunately for them, on their offensive side of the ball, you know, having Taylor Lewan be out with a head injury, I don't know if he's going to make our game or not. But it looked kind of dangerous when he was just lying there motionless for a while after last game. So, and then in the defense, their secondary is a little bit banged up. Their rookie, he's done for the year, and so they got to find two new corners. This is probably not the week to have to go find two new corners when you're about to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up, I want to ask you more specifically about Derrick Henry and just sort of your evaluation of him. It's not like I'm going out on some limb here. I love him. Like, I think he is one of the must-watch players in the league, and I think right now we're seeing a stretch from Derrick Henry that is as good as any running back in the history of the league. I want to get your opinion on it as a former linebacker in the league. We'll do that next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Gotta get angry. You gotta get mean. That's the only way you can play.
You're listening to former Chiefs linebacker Jon Barber on The Drive, brought to you by Own KC. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I do want to ask you about Derrick Henry, but I have to ask you about this before I forget. What would you do if you were on the same team as Ben Simmons?
Man.
Like, I understand that football is a very different kind of game, but, you know, everything about sports, regardless if you play basketball, football, baseball, is about togetherness. It's about being on the same page, about pulling in the same direction. It's about, I don't care what your race, religion, background is, we come together for one common goal of trying to win. You have one player who is doing everything in his power to go against sort of the code of the locker room. How would that play on one of your teams?
I haven't experienced that, and I wouldn't even know where to begin with that kind of arrogance attitude being brought into the locker room while we're trying to go to work. At the end of the day, I mean, I can understand business is business, contracts are contracts. If you're not happy with it, then at the end of the day, sometimes you just don't show up. But to come to work and then have the, you know, contract, the conduct detrimental to, like, us trying to prepare for a game and you being in your sweats with your cell phone and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it just shows a lack of respect for your teammates. And I think that's the worst part about it is – I think he's upset with the organization, but he's in some ways being disrespectful to his teammates, and that's what kind of where I draw the line.
I feel like in football, this would have just started a fight. Like, somebody on the football team just would have hurt Ben Simmons. Like, basketball is like a different, like, it just take basketball players and football players just mentally are just very different. If there was a football, can you imagine going through a football practice and one of the guys wouldn't participate in the drill, had his phone in his pocket, would just mentally disengage? One of the defensive linemen just would have fought that individual.
I mean, I've had a similar experience actually happen on the football field when I was with the Washington football team. We had a D lineman actually from this area, graduated at a local school from here. D lineman refused to do our run drills. He didn't want to do up downs with the rest of the D-line. D-line coach was getting those, you know, guys ready for 9-on-7, and the way he got them ready was doing grass drills. You know, I don't know if you know what a grass drill is.
I got a general idea.
Right, when he says hit it, you get down on the ground and crawl on the ground and get yourself nice and sweaty and ready to play.
Football things.
And he refused. He said, he told the coach straight up during practice, until you can show me how this is going to help us stop the run, I'm not doing it. And so the coach moved on, moved up 5 yards, took the other four D linemen, D tackles, and did their grass drills. We went through 9-on-7. This young man just stuck to the side, kept himself by himself, didn't do the drill. So defensively, when it came time for us to huddle up and get ready to actually go play and practice, we chose to huddle up opposite hashes of him. So he was always isolated by himself for the rest of practice. We say, if you want to be by yourself, then be by yourself. And we went through practice that way. And then afterwards, he kind of, you know, came to the defense and told us he was, you know.
Started doing the grass.
He understands as a unit, you know, hey, we all got to do it. No matter if it makes sense or not, we all got to do it. So, he got in his feelings and his emotions a little bit, you know, during the individual drill. So that's the way we took care of it and handled it.
How do you stop Derrick Henry?
How do you stop? You gang tackle. There's not too many people one-on-one that you want. Obviously, we've seen his stiff arm, right? We've seen him put guys vertical and mush him to the ground and do that kind of thing.
So choke slam individuals.
He's very good. Scary. He has a very intimidating stiff arm. So there's a technique that we learn is in tackling drills, how to handle guys that stiff arm a lot.
Do you think other guys are afraid of Derrick Henry? Like, I know players would never see it, but like watching a player at that speed, at that size, come at you with that hands, with that intention to hurt you. You tell me about Larry Allen all the time that you could see other NFL players were afraid of that NFL player.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's no D-back Rashad Fenton see him coming. There ain't no sense of fear in him about what could potentially happen. Not even a little bit.
Listen, man, this football has been done at a high level. You don't get to this level practicing and playing with fear. Like,
you told me Larry Allen, you saw fear in people's eyes.
No, I told you that was this. And actually, this is the same guy. See, that's what I'm trying to say. He's a carryover. Okay. The same defensive lineman that caught the Larry Allen flu the night before the game when we played San Fran is the same guy that set out these drills. So some of these characteristics of not the greatest teammate, not the greatest, you know, competitor, it shows its face in multiple different areas in life. And so, no, I don't think there's any fear or any lack of any guys being intimidated by King Henry. Like, again, he's a physical ball carrier. He gets downhill, and he loves when he gets to that second level, right? He loves taking that stiff arm on DBs and safeties. But we got some D linemen. We got some guys that can lay some heaviness. And just play behind your pads, hit on the up. You know, you got to shoot your guns and be ready to wrap and tackle. You just can't let him get started. When he gets into that, you know, kicks in that third gear in that second level, he does start doing damage to people.
I've never seen anything like him in regards to his stamina. Like, we're talking about a player where on Monday night they showed his, like, yards per carry per quarter. And second half Derrick Henry is so much stronger than first half Derrick Henry. Like, it's almost like it takes him 12 to 14 carries to get going. And by the time he crosses that 15 carry, he's still as fresh as he was in the beginning of the game, and just you aren't. He's averaging almost 7 yards a carry in the fourth quarter of these games. That's not what you're supposed to do as a running back.
You're right. I mean, obviously he's building. You know, he builds up as he goes, and he finishes game strong. So you got to be ready to attack the running game in the first, second quarter just as hard as you attack it in the third and fourth. You got to be ready to finish the game, because he will. What we know about his coach, they will never abandon the running game. There is no point, no deficit, no point. You can be up 21 points, and they're going to still come out and run the ball and try to, in that second half, to get it back to a one-score ball game. So you got to be ready when you play the Tennessee Titans to buckle that chin strap, put that mouthpiece in, and for four quarters and even overtime to take it, you got to be ready to play that run each and every down.
Tomorrow, we got a very busy show. We get you ready for Chiefs and Titans. I'm really excited for Sunday's game. Like, to me, this is, you went through the early season struggles. You're not going to learn anything against the Giants. Like, this is a legitimate test for this defense to see real progress, how much the changes matter, confidence for the second half of the season, if they can start stopping some of the better teams. Because, like, playing games like Tennessee, it doesn't stop. You got the Packers, you got the Raiders, you got the Cowboys, you got the Chargers again. I mean, This is just one of many difficult challenges for the defense.
Well, I know one thing. Other than football, there's going to be some things I'm doing over the weekend. Obviously, early voting starts this weekend for the Johnson County Board of Trustees. So I will be supporting Ms. Dawn Raton. I'm Team Dawn this weekend. I'm going to put in my absentee vote. So if you're in the Johnson County Community College School District, vote early and often. Get that vote. I think official voting in person starts November 3rd, I think. But this weekend, absentee voting starts. So that's my community moment. What am I doing in the community? That's what I'm doing.
My community moment would be telling you that if you live in Johnson County, you should move to Jackson County. It's the drive.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.